The real interesting question, it's not gold ripping, it's who's driving it, because that will tell you how healthy it is. And I'm convinced it's the Chinese and central banks. And if that is so, it's going to go a lot higher. And that means they see something coming that most North Americans don't. And I think they're right. You know, it's something we've talked about for years. The American system is bankrupt. We're going through a reformation.
Bob Moriarty, good afternoon or good evening to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing good. Good to see you. It's been a minute since we've talked, probably, I don't know, 8 weeks or so. I always like to check in with you to get the pulse of everything and your thoughts. It's quiet on the Western front, if you would, but it's gold is ripping here. Love your thoughts and opinions on that, and then we'll talk some mining shares.
The real interesting question, it's not gold ripping, it's who's driving it, because that will tell you how healthy it is. And I'm convinced it's the Chinese and central banks. And if that is so, it's going to go a lot higher. And that means they see something coming that most North Americans don't. And I think they're right. You know, it's something we've talked about for years. The American system is bankrupt. We're going through a reformation, okay, with Donald Trump. And it's going to be just as important as Martin Luther in 1517. Okay. We're going through something that's a giant, giant change, and he hasn't addressed changing the value of the gold. Are you aware that the United States values its gold at $42.22?
I'm not. Tell me about it.
Supposedly, the U.S. has 9,000 tons of gold. We don't know. It may have been sold. It may be there, may not be there. There's been no audit since the '50s. And we've got this giant debt problem. And one way out of the debt is just to stop payment on the bonds, demand 50-year bonds, and revalue gold. I mean, what do you do when you're $37 trillion in debt? You got a problem.
Yeah. Probably write it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. It's funny you mentioned that, yes. I was just actually talking with my daughter last night, the one who likes you. And I told her name is Casey. And I said, Casey, the closest thing I can think of in my lifetime that this reminds me of is 1987, 88-ish, really the fall of the Soviet Union and the fall of the Eastern Bloc. I didn't really understand it, but I just knew that this was a change and a dramatic change. You know, you're living through history right now. This is a change. We don't know exactly what this looks like on the other side, but we're going through a change right now. So
the speed of the change is astonishing to me. And Donald Trump came out, like all politicians, listed 50 things he was going to do. And he got elected because the Americans were sick and tired of corruption from the lefts. And he's done all 50 in the first week Okay. Sitting here going, my God, I just can't keep up with this. So it's going to be interesting. And the Secretary of Defense is over in Germany right now at a NATO EU conference. And he said, look, we're not going to support Ukraine forever. And they cannot possibly join NATO. Now, if the United States had said that December of 2021, when that's what Putin insisted on, there would have never been a war. I am probably the most anti-war person you'll ever talk to, because I've been in war. I tell you how stupid they are. They're expensive. They're meaningless. You're doing the same thing day after day after day and expecting different things to happen. And it doesn't work that way. The United States is bankrupt because of these stupid wars that we're in. Donald Trump's interesting because he's taken two diametrically opposed positions. One is total support of Israel, which I think is wrong. And the other is we're going to dump Zelensky, throw him under the bus. And I absolutely approve of that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, I'll tell you what I do have to mention to you. Did I ever teach you about pole vaulting?
No.
The pole vaulting record for a woman is 5'06".
Okay.
Now, how would your daughter like to practice for the next 20 years and get to the point she's world class and she goes to the Olympics and there's a contestant from the United States who comes in. She says, okay, I want the bar set at 25 meters. And everybody's looking around going, what? What do you mean 25 meters? Nobody can pole vault 25 meters. And the woman picks up her pole, starts to run, throws the pole to the side, and leaps over the bar.
Not a biological woman.
No, it's a biological woman, 27 years old, blonde. She's the chief spokesman for Trump.
Okay.
Do you realize what would happen to every female pole vaulter in the world if somebody could high jump over 25 meters? Exactly the same thing is happening with every spokesman for the president from now until eternity. Caroline Leavitt just keeps kicking ass, and I'm sitting here thinking, God, am I glad I'm not married to her. I'd never win an argument.
All right? That makes two of us. Yeah, and she brings a stack of receipts to every single press conference. And I don't watch them all, but I've watched enough. And she just slays it down.
Right. You know, they need an ambulance there and bandages, okay? Because the media is so used to chewing up the spokesperson that the media comes out with these loaded questions and she just shoves it right down their throat, picks up a baseball bat, beats them over the head for 5 minutes, say, you want some more?
Right. No, it's very refreshing, especially since what we've gone through the last 4 years. Very refreshing.
I think it's refreshing for any spokesperson because I was fine. The purpose of a spokesperson for the president, I would say you need somebody who's a good liar. And yeah. That was Republicans and it was true Democrats or somebody to come out there and know her stuff and get fed these insane, stupid questions, and then just shove it down the throats of the people who said it. I'm just absolutely astonished. And I'm certainly impressed. Here's the difference between this administration and Trump 45. he had these bozos surrounding him in the first administration, like Bolton. Okay. Bolton was a snake in the grass. He's still a snake in the grass. And you can go to any media that actually puts him on and know this is not news. This is propaganda. Okay. Right. He was a snake in the grass when he was getting paid by the president. But the vice president back then just, we had all these incompetents. And I was thinking, you know, this is Trump, this is the guy who's supposed to be a billionaire, this is the guy who's so impressed with himself, how smart he is. Why has he surrounded himself with idiots? And I will credit his chief of staff, who's very quiet and very competent. And I think she's the one behind the real quality of people that they hired. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with everything everyone says. I think that Robert F. Kennedy is going to be as much of a change as Elon Musk. Okay. Yeah. The healthcare system in the United States is broken, and it's broken because it's been bought and paid for by Big Pharma. And Bernie Sanders and Pocahontas showed exactly who they were working for when they were interrogating Kennedy. And I was astonished that he actually got voted through. But that's going to be very significant. We obviously need to work on the fiscal side financially. And that's Elon Musk, who is easily 10 times smarter than anybody I've ever heard of. And on the fiscal side, in terms of health, and Robert F. Kennedy's been saying, hey, I'm just saying we need to test this. And for him to be in office now, that's great. I think I've seen more important things happen in the last 3 weeks than in the last 3 decades. And I look forward to a lot more.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was not. I don't know how you'd say it. I didn't expect this. I did not at all. I never thought I'd see this in my life.
Okay, stop right there.
Yeah.
Did you expect, or were you surprised, or were you shocked, the level of corruption?
So, yes, but I knew there was a lot. Yes.
I knew there was a lot, but as I am, I just can't keep up. I mean, right. They keep coming out with these lists, and I'm going, holy cow, the taxpayers paid for that.
Yeah, and no, it's
how did Samantha Power on a $250,000 a year salary make $30
million? $30 million.
Gee, yeah. I wonder if there was any corruption there. How did Chelsea Clinton, who fell out of an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down, how did she get $86 million from USAID to rebuild Haiti? What does she know about the Haiti? I don't think she could spell Haiti.
No, you're absolutely right. I was shocked. I'm shocked. But what I'm more shocked is that they're executing on it, meaning they're actually doing it. They're actually exposing it. I was not optimistic or didn't believe that would ever happen.
Well, here's beautiful. We've got the left, the Democrats, proving how stupid they are and how corrupt they are. The California wildfires were the best example in the entire world history. The Democrats, the DEI people at every level screwed up everything they could possibly screw up. The Republicans and the right wing, they didn't have to do anything. All I had to do is sit there and watch the Democrats make themselves look even dumber than we thought they were in the first place. How do you know that that you need to clear out the brush. And Newsom talked about this when he took office. He said, well, we're going to clean up all this brush. We know that California has wildfires every year, and we're going to do something about it. How do you have a water source, millions of gallons of water, that's been empty for the last year? I'm going, wait a minute. Nobody could be that stupid. But what's even better is when the assistant fire chief gets on television and somebody says, you know, what would happen if you had to lift some guy up and carry him down the stairs? And she says, well, hell, he shouldn't have been there. And she did, of course, have a point.
Yeah. I remember that. That was comic relief. Yeah. I never thought we would see this. And it's just very encouraging, but it's also interesting and scary all at the same time.
Well, it's scary because, you know, the deep state, and it exists, and they understand what a threat Elon Musk and Donald Trump are.
Yeah.
And believe me, in the smoke-filled rooms behind the scenes, they're sitting there figuring out what they can do. And I think, and I'll say this as a guy who is in combat, the most valuable skill in combat is audacity. Okay? You got to have the guts and the sense to do things the enemy doesn't expect you to do. When I was flying the bird dog in Quang Tri, we were actually fighting the North Vietnamese. We didn't have Viet Cong in I Corps. You couldn't see them from 1,000 or 1,500 feet. So what we would do is come back on the power, shove the nose over, and we would fly at treetop level. And we'd look down and say, yep, there they are. Okay, let's go call in an airstrike or an artillery mission. We could do that and get away with it. They could have taken a bow and arrow and shot us down, but they couldn't do that because they couldn't react fast enough. Now I'm going to tell you, the Democratic side just sitting there dumbfounded, astonished, one, that a politician actually did what he said he was going to do, which it's pretty astonishing all by itself. And two, he's double teaming or triple teaming. And he's got Musk attacking from one side, Trump attacking from another side, Haskard attacking from another side. And Democrats don't know what the hell to do. And he goes out and says, okay, we're going to let 20% of the federal workforce resign. We'll give you eight months pay. Okay, and I think 6% of the workforce actually resigned. Then he went in and started firing people. So, damn, okay, I like this guy. The guy at the Border Patrol, he's great. I mean, when a guy walks into a press conference, he's got a bullwhip in one hand, a baseball bat in the other hand, saying, we're going to close the borders. Yeah, if you have to start thinking, damn, you know, this guy might be serious about this.
Yeah. We do live in interesting times, but it's good. But you made a good point there with the deep state. Yeah. I'm just waiting for that shoe to drop. So, you know.
You said something interesting. May you live in interesting times. That, of course, is a very famous Chinese curse.
Right.
But, you know, what would happen if they actually managed to stop Trump, or if they actually managed to stop Musk? And I think, I'm going to be very cynical here, I think they're so stupid and so inept at everything that they do that while they're sitting there waiting to frag the bus as it goes by, the bus went by 2 days ago, okay?
Right.
And attacking that bus. There's another bus coming, and the bus is headed straight for you. So we're in for interesting times. And again, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump does, but I agree with a lot of it. And some of the people, like the border czar, like Caroline Leavitt, these people are just absolutely amazing. How do you get a 27-year-old that's that quick?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, let's... there's so many ways we could go like this. It's just really interesting. But on all that, I'm just really surprised that it's happened so fast and that it's happening. I'm very happy, very pleased. And
I'm thrilled to see leadership.
Yeah. Exactly.
For the first time, the last time I can think of leadership in the White House, it was probably John F. Kennedy. Okay. Yeah. And I'm a 16-year-old kid. I saw him the night before he was killed. He did things. He kept us out of World War III. Okay. Yeah. And the military establishment actually wanted to nuke Cuba, which would have been catastrophic. And I'll give you an idea. Something just happened literally yesterday showing how incompetent the U.S. military is today. Do you know what it was?
What's that?
The aircraft carrier in the Gulf of Suez had a collision with a cargo carrying ship.
I didn't do that.
Okay, aircraft carrier collide with anybody? Everybody said, "Hey, man, there's an aircraft coming here. We better get our ass out of the way." How they run into another ship?
Right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about, let's go back to gold here. The people
now.
The
questions. Can't do that.
Why not?
What we need to do is talk about what Trump is going to do to decrease the budget. What are the three ways that wealth is created?
Three ways that wealth is created?
All wealth is created one of three ways. You can grow it. You can manufacture it. Or you can buy it. And every other occupation is a derivative of one of those three.
Say that again. Right? The three ways. Well,
you can grow it. You can manufacture it. Or you can mine it. What is this?
It's a pen.
No, it's not. Near corn. Okay. And I take one kernel off and I throw it over in a field and I let it rain. 100 days later, I come back. What have I got then? I've got another ear of corn. Okay. Right. So I took one kernel and turned it into 300 kernels. Okay. Now, the United States happens to be very efficient at growing things, okay, we have more arable land per acre, per square mile than any other country on Earth. There isn't very much we can do to increase the efficiency of agriculture. So that's not going to change the finances of the United States. We've got an absolute competitive advantage. We're always going to be wealthy because of agriculture. And then you go on to manufacturing. So you take a teaspoon of silicone, and you take 2 grams of silver, and you take 3 grams of copper, and let's see what else is in there. You take some titanium, you mix it up in a mixing bowl for about 32 seconds, and you pour it into a mold. You get an iPhone, okay? And it costs you $10 for the materials. And the iPhone costs $2,000, okay? you have just created wealth. Okay. Now, the problem is the policies of the U.S. government over the last really 50 years has been to give away our manufacturing. And manufacturing has gone from about 30% of the economy to under 10% of the economy in that series. So when Donald Trump says he wants to change manufacturing, he wants to increase the United States capacity to manufacture, and he's going to do it through tariffs, and he's going to do it through using a baseball bat. He's got a point, but that's not something that's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day. It's going to take 10 or 20 years to rebuild the capacity of the United States to compete. And interestingly enough, he's just come out in the last day or two. He does a lot of things that make me think and make me realize, you know, I don't know what I think I know. He was saying to the rest of the world has been cheating the United States, stealing from the United States with tariffs. And I found a chart of tariffs that the EU charges on American goods. And I was really quite astonished. So when he's talking about tariffs, he's talking about tariffs, the use of tariffs for really three things. One is to generate revenue. One is to try to protect American jobs. And the other is to stop the rest of the countries in the world freeloading on the United States. Now, if we make shoes and Europe charges us a 30% duty, okay, we can't afford to make shoes anymore. So we either charge them 30% duty on shoes, okay, just to be fair. So I think he's onto something that's very important, and quite bluntly, Elon Musk is really smart and he understands that stuff. And I think a lot will be done on the manufacturing side. Gold. Dave,
go ahead.
All you got to do is revalue gold from 4222, 9,000 tons. To $3,000 an ounce or $5,000 an ounce or $50,000 an ounce, and you just paid off the national debt. But what everybody's ignoring is, and he's been crystal clear about this, if you visited mining projects, if you've talked to people in the industry, every single one of them will bitch and piss and moan at all the roadblocks the government throws in the way of mining. There is a gigantic copper project in Arizona near Tucson, north of Tucson. And they've been screwing around for 20 years trying to get that thing permitted. Okay. There's a giant multi-element project up in Alaska. And it gets approved, and it gets disapproved, and it gets approved, and then it gets disapproved. And Trump's, somebody in his administration is going to say, you know, Donald, there's only three ways to create wealth. He's going to say, really? Yeah, we need to start mining. Okay, and why don't we do that? Well, there are all these bureaucrats in the way. It's that stop it. Really? Why don't we fire their ass? And that's exactly what's going to happen. So gold all by itself, because the United States in theory, and I don't know this is true because there hasn't been an audit since the 50s. In theory, the United States has more gold than any other government in the world. If they revalue the gold, that would go a long way to making honest money again. But it's going to help the entire mining industry. And some of what it's doing, one of the dangers of using tariffs as a baseball bat is that your opponents tend to do the same thing. And we've done that with China. And I think that's a mistake. And China has looked at the long list of minerals the United States needs, including the rare earth elements, and said, okay, tit for tat, okay? If you could screw us, we could screw you. And some of the companies that I deal with realize they've been sitting on very valuable minor minerals, okay, that didn't particularly have value before. But if China cuts off the supply, then they've got to have value. Something like gallium. You need gallium for color monitors, okay? Now, you might use a dollar's worth of gallium in a big TV screen. How much would it change the price of that monitor if the price of gallium went up tenfold? Not much, okay? So there are elements that China has been controlling for years that the United States has to have, and we need to rebuild our supplies of these, and we need to emphasize production of these, and we need the bureaucrats to either lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
I am so glad you brought this up. Yes. Something like tungsten, right?
Antimony, gallium, lithium.
Yep. That's why he's talking about annexing Greenland. Because it's
for... Nah, I don't think so. I think he's talking about Greenland in geophysical terms, geopolitical terms. I've been to Greenland 3 or 4 times looking at mining projects, and the only way that you could find a more expensive mining project to support would be if it was on Mars.
It's not worth it, huh? Yeah. Going back to, I absolutely agree with you. And the thing is, with strategic and critical metals and minerals, they're so depressed right now, but just imagine if it comes out that China's, and it has already, that China's no longer selling them to the U.S.
Well, here's what's beautiful. What China did was very smart, okay? They became the market, and they invented the United States and Canada, which are filthy rich in every mineral. They shut all these mines down, like Mountain Pass in California. Hang on, I've got to hang up on somebody. So.
No problem. Yeah. No, I think there's a huge play there.
Well, it's gonna be interesting. And the strange thing is, I believe that it's going to affect Canada as well. Canada and the United States happen to be probably the safest places in the world to mine in terms of geopolitics. And I think making America great in mining is certainly going to reflect on Canada.
You mean they're going to loosen it up, the regulations as well?
They're going to have to.
I have to, because everybody's going to come aboard. Yeah. So what's your favorite critical strategic mineral?
Hang on. I'll take this sheet here. I think it would have to be gallium, okay? No. And the strange thing is, it's not a high-value commodity. It's just one we've been literally throwing away because China made it so cheap. Now, I read something today about antimony. How much do you know about the antimony?
Very little, but
it's very closely related to lead. Okay.
Right. Okay.
You put antimony in a battery to harden the battery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because it's very dense and it's like titanium. Okay. It's very dense and it's very strong. You put it in artillery shells and bullets and things like that. So it's a very critical war metal. And China's just said, okay, screw you. We're not going to say any more antimony. And here's the key. There's no question it's going to take years to get these mines into production. But with the guy as smart as Elon Musk, he's going to go to Donald Trump and he's going to say, look, Donald, what the United States has done over the last 50 years is literally hand our manufacturing and hand our mining of critical metals to China and Russia. And what we need to do is we need to have stockpiles in the first place. And two, we need to have the ability to do that. The United States used to be a big uranium producer. We produce very little uranium now. Do you know where most of the uranium comes from?
I can say either Ukraine or Australia.
Russia.
Okay, Russia. Yeah.
Okay. And we define them as the enemy. And Russia said, okay, well, go down to Kmart next time you need some U-308. Kmart doesn't sell uranium. No shit. Mm-hmm. Or I guess you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, talk about the equities. And what I would like you to mention is just like you said off camera about how there's tremendous value in the precious metal equities. And I would agree. But also talk about if you know of any equities that you're looking at or you already own in critical metals and where's the value in strategic?
Here's what's interesting. It's actually really hard to buy equities in critical minerals because you have companies that have thrown them away because it wasn't worth adding the processing capability on, and now it is. But a lot of minor metals like antimony, like gallium, if you produce a lot of copper, you're going to produce a lot of gallium, and they've thrown it away, and you got to put in a special circuit. But the rare earth elements, and I always enjoy rare earth elements because anybody in geology who understands them, the key to rare earth elements is they're not rare. They're everywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is rare is having a concentration of them that's economic. But what's even more important, and the Chinese understood this and the Americans didn't understand this, is you've got to have the ability to process them. And the Chinese were willing to. Some of the things I've seen in China, absolutely amazing. You talk about the environmental, Jesus, they don't give a damn about the environment. They want to control these metals, so they'll do anything to produce them. And what they've done is they've captured the market. And when you got a guy as smart as Elon Musk, he's going to talk to Trump and he's going to say, we have to support mining by reducing all the red tape, but we have to support metals and rare earth by investing in production, okay, not just mining, but the production of those. So we're in for an interesting time. Now, I use the term reformation, and I've seen one other person use it. This is just as important as Martin Luther in 1517. There is a giant divide in the world between the debt-based system of the West and the resource-based system of the East. Martin Luther was a monk, a Catholic monk, and he saw the corruption in the Catholic Church. And he took a thesis of 95 issues and he printed it out on its laser writer. And he took it to the door of a why are you laughing at me? They had laser writers.
You got the job. Yep. Go ahead. You're not very well versed in church history. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And he nailed it to the front door of a church. And the strange thing is, he wasn't saying we need to do this. What he was saying was, we need to talk about this. And what Donald Trump has finally understood in this administration is we need to start attacking the problems that are so visible. Now, if I was a dictator, and I would love to be a dictator. Okay, I think a benevolent dictatorship is probably the best form of government. Right. I would take those brain dead idiots out in California who started that fire and did the biggest $250 billion natural disaster. And there was nothing natural about it because it was eminently predictable. I'd take them out and shoot their ass. Okay, those people are too stupid to breathe. And nobody has come out and said, you know, we screwed up.
Right.
Excuse me. You think so?
Yeah.
Hey, so you left all that brush, you left, ran out in water, and you think maybe you screwed up? Well, we didn't hire enough people because of what's between their legs. Really? What does that have to do with anything? So we're in for a change that I think is bigger than any in history, and it's just started. And the strange thing is, I think the ultimate result is going to be we're going to realize that having this debt-based system where everything is based around finance is actually the kiss of death. I let's use Samantha Power again. How do you take a $250,000 a year salary and end up with $30 million estate? And the answer is you don't, unless you're totally corrupt. So the debt-based system of the West, the World Economic Forum, all those oligarchs who have made so much money while average people saw their incomes dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. We need to change that. And I think Trump's going to change that. And I think that there's not going to be the divide between the debt-based system of the West and the resource-based system of the East, because eventually we're going to realize, you know, if we work together on this, we wouldn't have to have all these stupid-ass wars. And I think that would be a wonderful solution. Trump doesn't get it yet in Israel and Gaza. Okay, he needs to take a walk on the road to Damascus, like Saul did. The idea of turning Gaza into a Trump resort makes about as much sense as coming out with a meme coin the day before you take office as president. There's just something unseemly about doing that. If Israel and the United States would actually think about the relationship is not symbiotic, it's exactly the opposite. It is a poisonous relationship that it's deadly to both Israel and to the United States. And we need to change that. And that's going to take a major change in thinking. And I'm not sure if we're there yet. But, you know, all that shit was predicted in the fourth turning.
Yeah, you've been an advocate of the book.
Yeah. I'm a big advocate of the book because it's 25 years old. And the guys who wrote it, two guys who wrote it, predicted everything that's happening. And they said by 2005, 2008, we're going to start the fourth turning. We're going to have 20 or 25 years of chaos. And we're going to have a lot of people who want to go to a totalitarian government. But there are going to be these green shoots spring up. And there are going to be people who reject that. And the whole World Economic Forum is about total control by government of everything that people do. And it's a failure. And it will always be a failure. And people who want totalitarian governments, they always fail. And nobody ever learns from them. However, certainly any rational person can look at U.S. aid and say, God, you know, they had hundreds of stupid programs that were nothing but stealing.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it was. It was stealing.
Exactly what
it was. Yeah. And the president of the United States comes out and says, okay, USA is shut down and we're no longer handing money out to everybody that's got their hand out. And some idiot working for USA wrote a check for $59 million to hand in New York City for illegal immigrants. I'm going, wait a minute. I thought we had an agreement. The illegal immigrants were going to take a hike. They were going to march back to Mexico. No, we need to put up in expensive hotels. They've gotten used to it. Oh, great. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. You know, this conversation, I'm very grateful for it. It wasn't what I expected, but it was better than I expected. And I think really the overall thesis, and I'm going to agree with you 100%, it's going to go from, was it Zoltan Pozsar? Do you know who he is?
I hate him. I don't mind people being smarter than me. There's lots of people smarter than me. I mind is people that are 100 times smarter than me. I think he's right up there, somewhere between 90 and 95 times as smart as I am.
Well, obviously, I'm familiar with him. And what you said, I agree with. Not only do I agree with, is Zoltan Pozsar. That's what he has been saying for the last couple of years. And I would agree. I think we're right on there. But I haven't really, until recently and now, I haven't made the leap and tied it to mining and U.S. mining, Trump opening it up. And I think I have a suspicion you're right.
He's going to, not necessarily because he wants to. He's going to because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And I actually like the idea of people in government saying, damn, why don't we do what makes sense? Now, that's not the only reason I hate Zoltan.
What's the other one?
He's better looking, too.
He's got a pretty place.
Chaps my ass. I cannot tell you how much that pisses me off.
Well, I will email him this interview, and hopefully I can get him on. But he's a recluse. He doesn't do interviews, really. But I would love to have him on.
A brilliant mind. And what we're seeing, the really brilliant people in the world who have thought about this stuff for years are floating to the surface, and they're starting to have an impact because they're doing what makes sense. Now, when you get guys like Zuckerberg and Bezos, and I'm trying to think of who the guy was last week who was talking about how wonderful it was going to be when we had cameras everywhere and people were going to be so well behaved. Those guys don't understand people.
Yeah.
There is a difference between creation of wealth and being in the right place at the right time. Now, as bright as Steve Jobs was, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates happened to be in the right place at the right time. That had as much or more to do with their wealth than anything else. And then you get someone like Elon Musk, who just is a genius across the entire board. Okay. How do you go from making electric vehicles before anybody sees it to making spacecraft? Okay. That actually worked. Boeing couldn't build a spacecraft that actually works. Okay. Boeing's going to go bankrupt. Okay. They went from being an engineer driven company to a company run by bean counter. And that's the problem. That's the heart of the problem of the debt-based Western system. We got the goddamn bean counters, running things, and we need people to actually create things. And while there's a lot of things about Elon Musk that I disagree with, the guy is an absolute genius.
Yeah. I agree. Well, Bob, I think we'll end on that, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on. And that was very enjoyable. And I hope most people listen to this all the way through, because that was very, very enlightening. So well done.
Well, yeah, but we've got something that none of your other guests have.
What's that?
Name one guest that you interview who's as funny as I am.
I didn't have to think about that.
Yeah, no bullshit. About a career I want to. I happen to be a very funny guy.
Indeed. All right,
if
Bob.
Don't believe me. I need you to talk to an expert. You know who that expert is?
Tell me.
Your daughter.
A couple of people wanted to talk to her. You'd love her. You'd absolutely love her. All right, Bob, we'll get you next time. Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold. You've become a friend of mine over the last couple of years. Love having you on, and we have a great time. And this one especially has been very enlightening.
There are going to be more. We got something we can talk about.
Right. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Okay. Send me the link.
Absolutely.